A man who didn't believe in God was giving a lecture telling of reasons why he thought Christians were weak people and were dependent on God and used God as a crutch in their life. The man went on and on how he didn't need anyone but himself, and he was making a pretty good living just doing what he did, rely upon himself. After his speech, he asked anyone who had any questions to come up to the platform to give their question. After a short little while, a man who was well known as the town drunk came forward. He had just had a conversion experience and completely changed his life around. He came forward and reached into his pocket and he pulled out an orange and he started to slowly peel the orange. The lecturer became impatient with this man and asked him to give his question that he came forward to ask. Without saying anything, he just continued to peel his orange, and then one by one started to eat the orange. And finally, after he ate the whole orange, he turned to the lecturer and he asked, "Was the orange I ate sweet or sour?" Angrily, the lecturer shouted, "I don't know. How can I know whether it's sweet or sour when I never tasted any of it?" To this, the former drunk replied, "And how can you know anything about Christ if you've never tried Him?" Well, turn with me to John chapter 8, if you would. Often people make a decision without trying something first. I know I made a decision about Brussels sprouts without trying it. I didn't like it. No, I don't like it. And when I was young, I did not like eat Chinese food or pizza either. But all of a sudden, I turned around and I started liking those things. After I tried it, I ended up liking it. In today's passage, there are people who did not want to try Jesus. They refused to see how good He was. Maybe there's some people here today that refuse to give Jesus control of your life, to try Him. You just refuse to do that. Well, let's read John 8, 31 through 41. To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, "If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered Him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill Me, because you have no room for My word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father." "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill Me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God Himself." Okay, I'm going to stop right there. And the first thing that we see today, Jesus came to free us. Jesus came to free us. Verse 31 and 32 are kind of popular verses where it says, "To the Jews who had believed Him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to My teaching, you are really My disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Jesus said, "If you hold to My teachings, you are My disciples." It's not that if you believe what I say, you are My disciples, but if you hold to My teaching, you are My disciples. It may be one thing to follow a Jesus whom we have engineered to fit into our lives, but it's quite another thing to follow Jesus disclosed in God's Word. We have a tendency to domesticate Jesus. We have made Jesus fit into our lives instead of making Jesus' teachings fit our lives into Jesus' teachings. Most of the world believes in God. Many even believe that Jesus is God's Son, but they don't put their trust in Him. There are many who have deceived themselves into thinking that they are followers of Jesus when they're not. There's a quote that says, "None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free." If you know you are in bondage, you will recognize freedom when you see it. But if you think you are free and you're not, you will remain in your bondage. You will not seek out freedom because you think you're already free. Jesus goes on and says, "For those who do hold to my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." If you hold to His teachings, I can know the truth. Well, what is truth? We see in John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus says, "I am the truth." If you follow my teachings, you can know the truth. You can know me. That was a very important statement for the Jews to hear, because in that day, because they didn't want to follow His teachings, because Jesus messed up their lives and some of the beliefs that they had. And today, this is tough for us to hear because Jesus' teachings messes up some of our plans that we have for our lives. Because if Jesus' teaching is right, I have to sacrifice this kind of lifestyle that I like to live. And I don't like to sacrifice. Not sure I'm ready to give that up. Do we see how important it is to be living out the teachings of Christ? I always come back to Matthew 7:21, where Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Again, it's about those who do the will of God in heaven. Those who hold to His teachings. In Matthew 7 passage, the people believed He was Lord because they confessed, "Lord, Lord." But they didn't do the will of God. They lived their own lives however they wanted to, but they voiced allegiance to Jesus every once in a while. I don't mean to hit this point so hard. I just don't want people to have a false sense of security and find out, like the people in this passage, that they were truly not free. They thought they were free, but they weren't. The Jewish people were doing what seemed like they were doing everything right on the surface, on the outside. They went through all the rituals and the traditions that were set up. They would go to the synagogue every Sabbath. They would read the scriptures. Yet they were lost. They didn't know the truth because they were so caught up in the outward rituals that pointed to the truth. We also can get so caught up in Christianity as a religion that we miss the truth that it's supposed to be leading us to. We miss Jesus. We go through the rituals. We go to church. We put a little money in the offering plate. Do a few things here and there for His kingdom. But do we know the truth? We may be content just having the things that point us to Jesus in our lives without entering into a personal relationship with Jesus. A personal relationship doesn't mean working Jesus into our schedule a couple hours here or there during the week, but it's about being transformed into the likeness of Jesus, living like Him. In this passage, Jews got caught up in their rituals and traditions, and through those, they thought that they were free. Let's not make the same mistake. Again, just attending church, Sunday school, or listening to Christian music every once in a while does not set us free. It just points us to the one who can set us free. It's more than just hearing what God says. It's doing what God says. Jesus says, "If you hold to my teaching, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Verse 35 and 36, Jesus says, "Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. We all know that a slave has no permanent place in the family. A slave can be sold for money or they can be traded. The slave has no benefits in the family. They are not part of the family. But let's say the son of that family desires to set the slave free. The son has the power to do that. Well, when we were slaves to sin, and we were all slaves to sin, we were not part of God's family. We had no benefits in Christ. But the great news we get from this passage is the Son sets us free. We are no longer slaves, but sons and daughters. That is why we gather here together today to celebrate. Jesus came down to take off the shackles of sin off our hands and feet. Some Christians still live as though they were still chained up in their sin. But Jesus said, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And let me tell you, Jesus has come to set us free. Jesus gives an if-then clause. It's like an if-then clause contains a condition. If this is done, then this will be the result. Understand that little word if is a big concept in the kingdom of God. The word represents an invitation to. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, that's an invitation. If you do that, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. That is the promise. That's the result. Freedom will never force itself upon you. However, we must respond to God's invitation to accept His complete freedom that He offers us. At the start of Jesus' ministry, He quotes the prophet Isaiah in Luke 4:18. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free." When Jesus came to earth, He did amazing things. He healed the sick. He performed miracles. The blind see, the deaf hear, the crippled walk again. He raised people from the dead. He set them free from some physical limitations that they had. All these are amazing. But the main reason Jesus came to the earth was not to prolong our lives a few years or to make our lives more enjoyable by giving us a few healings here or there, but He came to set the lost people free. Free from consequence of sin for eternity. He came to bring salvation to all who would repent and follow Him. Jesus was glad that people had believed in Him, but He taught that if they wanted to really be set free from their sin, they were going to have to choose a life of discipleship. Not just believe in Me, but live a life of discipleship. They would need to abide in His Word, stay in it. It is not about a belief to possess, but a life to live. If you want to be set free from sin in your life, it's going to take more than passively believing something about Jesus. It is committing your life to Him and surrendering yourselves to the way of life He has for you, holding to His teachings. The second thing that we see here today is seeing our need to be free. Seeing our need to be freed. In the middle of this teaching about how He can set them free, the Jews kind of interrupt Him here, and they say in verse 33, "They answered Him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?'" The people in this passage claim that they've always been free, that they have never been a slave to anyone. They didn't see their need to be set free. Well, we know that they were slaves many times in their history. Abraham's descendants were slaves in Egypt. Remember that? For 400 years, they were slaves in Egypt. They were slaves to the Babylonians. They were slaves to the Persians, to Greece. And now they're under Roman control. Physically, they have been slaves a lot. But Jesus' picture of slavery goes way beyond physical. Jesus is saying a more devastating bondage than political power is that of spiritual and moral depravity. You are not free because you are sinners. Jesus says in verse 34, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. You are a slave to sin. The people in this passage did not recognize that they were spiritually in slavery. Let me repeat the quote that I just mentioned a little bit earlier. None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. How sad it is for them to think that they are spiritually free when they still live in bondage. The way they responded to Jesus shows that they didn't think they needed Him. How sad it is for people today who think that they are free but are still living in bondage. The way we respond to Jesus' teachings shows whether we think we need Him or not. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." The thief comes to destroy and imprison you. He imprisons you in your guilt, in your bitterness. He imprisons us in our sins. But Jesus comes to give us life and give us life to the full. The freedom that Jesus offers is not a political freedom. He's not going to rearrange the political system. Jesus did not promise to overthrow the Romans so they could be free. We are not always going to be politically free. We know that because the Antichrist will come and he will reign over the earth for a little while. Even now, many countries are brutally killing Christians. The Christians aren't politically free. The freedom Jesus offers is not about changing our outward circumstances, but it's about freeing you from your spiritual bondage that you have inside. The thief was dying upon the cross. Remember when Jesus was dying upon the cross? Right next to Jesus was this thief. Yet Jesus set him free. Jesus did not take him off the cross, didn't change his circumstances, but the criminal was free. He came to know the Lord and entered into the kingdom of heaven. The Apostle Paul was set free when he met Jesus, yet he still had a thorn in his flesh, and he pleaded with Jesus to take it away. Paul also found himself in prison many times and beaten many times. Do not think that your circumstances have to change for you to be freed in Jesus. True freedom goes beyond what we see with our physical eyes. It is freedom even when we're in prison. When we're in prison, we can still be free. It's having peace and joy as the world's hurts are all around you. The Lord's freedom goes far deeper than circumstances that surround you. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." There's no doubt of our freedom when we walk daily with the Lord. He has won the war for our freedom. His blood is powerful enough to cover all of our sins. Not cover, but take them away. Get rid of them. He has power to safely bring us into His kingdom. So why do we still walk around like we're still bound in the shackles of sin? You are freed from them. You know, it's kind of interesting what they do with elephants. When they're young, they put a bracelet around the elephant's foot. And that bracelet, they put a chain to it. And that chain is attached to a deep stake deep in the ground. And these young elephants are not able to go beyond where the chain will take them because the embedded stake is too far down and they cannot move it. Well, it's kind of interesting. As the elephants get older, all they do is put the bracelet around their leg. They don't even have the chain attached anymore. Because you know what? These elephants, these grown-up elephants, could easily pull that stake up. So they just put the bracelet around, and they got it in their mind that they are enslaved, that they are chained up. And they even though they can actually leave the place that they're at, they stay in the place that they're at. Well, let me tell you, we are free from the bondage of sin. Yet we kind of stay in the same place that we've always been in. The very definition of captive is one who is confined. That is exactly what we were. You and I were prisoners held under the bondage of sin. We were held there by the bondage of sin. We were held captive by the impulses of sin, controlled by the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. We had no power to overcome the influence of sin. We had no power. And frankly, we have just gotten used to the shackles that sin had in our lives. Sin was our ruler and it held us captive. Whatever sin wanted, that is what we gave into. Romans 6:16 says, "Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness." There is incredible hope expressed in a promise that Jesus can set people free. I'm sure that you have, or you currently still have, something that you cannot break free from in your life. Maybe there's some strongholds that you have in your life. They're called strongholds because they got a strong hold on you and they won't let you go. Bound by the chains like addiction, whether that's to alcohol, drugs, pornography, adultery. You may be bound by the chains of fear, greed, poverty, worldliness, doubt, anger, bitterness, legalism, racism, insecurity, despair, or depression. Whatever has you bound in slavery and is causing you failure, causing you the failure to experience life more abundantly as promised by Jesus Christ, it's slavery. It's slavery in your life. The good news today is the Son has come to set you free. You are free. So now, like those elephants, we need to actually live in that freedom. Live in that freedom that He has purchased for us. Well, the application for today is trusting in Jesus alone. Trusting in Jesus alone. Perhaps we may say the same things as the Jews in this passage. We are free. We don't see our need for Jesus. Jesus tells one of the churches in Revelation that who are trusting in something that cannot save them. Revelation 3:17-18. Jesus says, "You say, 'I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see." The things of this life cannot save you. The church thought, I don't have no need. I don't have no need. I am rich. Meeting our needs and being comfortable does not mean we do not need Jesus. Money or power cannot save us. We cannot free ourselves by how we live. Let me tell you, we cannot live a good enough life that we don't need Jesus anymore. We got to have Jesus. Jews thought they lived good enough to be in a right relationship with God because they followed the law. Which obviously they didn't follow the law. Nobody does follows it completely. James 2:10 says this, "Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it." Wow. Does anybody here keep the whole law? There's nobody. We've all fallen short of that. Jesus came to set us free from the law of performance-based religion and legalism. He gave us His Holy Spirit. When you have a relationship with the living God, you can step out of the empty ritualism into a vibrant relationship with the living Lord. And yet there are millions of Christians today who are still in bondage. They're still in bondage. They enjoy their external freedoms, the benefits of their political freedoms, and the rewards of their economic freedom, and yet they are slaves to their own sin and their lives. Or they're trying to do it by their own power, by following the law. Trying to earn your way to heaven by your good works, or by the life you live, or by religion, is a terrible form of bondage. Trying to think that you can earn it by how you live. How many good works must you do to finally earn God's forgiveness? Which are the works that count? Do many small works cancel out big sins that you commit? Can big works cancel out a big sin or many small sin? At what point can I know that God is appeased? What if I'm doing the wrong good works or not enough good works? It's an endless cycle that gives no hope or assurance. Because you know what? It's not about doing good works. We do that because we've been set free, but we don't do that to be set free. Galatians 5:1 says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." See, He's the one that set you free. You didn't do it by what you do. "Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." This is the context of people being enslaved by the law, trying to earn their salvation by living a certain way. Paul goes on to say in Galatians 5:4, he says, "You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." You are trusting in the wrong thing. You're trusting in your goodness, which you are not good enough. The Galatians accepted Jesus, but they returned to their dependence of following the law's requirements. Have you ever wondered why would the Galatians go back into slavery when they've already been given the freedom? Their behavior was a similar pattern to the Israelites long ago. In the Old Testament, Moses led the people out of Israel, out of slavery in Egypt. God used Moses to lead the people into freedom. But the people were not happy. Even though they were free, they began to moan and groan about the life that they had and how it was better back in Egypt. Oh, I was better back in slavery. The Israelites had been set free. And instead of living in the freedom God had given them, instead of being thankful that God provided manna for them each and every day, they complained of the lack of cucumbers and garlic. The Galatians were doing the same thing. Instead of living in freedom in Christ, they thought that they needed something more. The Galatians allowed men to come in amongst them and spread false teaching. The Galatians were deceived into thinking that they needed something more to earn freedom and salvation, more than Jesus. Paul is clear when he says we can't earn our salvation, and if we try to earn our salvation, then we deny the truth of God's grace. So we get to choose, who are we going to serve, Jesus or the world? Trust in Jesus or trust in ourselves? Luke 16:13. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and love the other, or you be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." You cannot serve two masters. Which one are you going to serve? Which one are you going to serve? Because it says here, if you love one, you're going to hate the other. So if you love the world, you're going to hate the Lord, because He goes against the world. We can't straddle the fence here. It's like the boy who wanted to ride the horse, but when he got up to see the horse, he saw how big it was, and he got a little scared. And he got on top of the fence with one foot, and he straddled the horse with the other foot, and the horse started to take off on him, and he didn't know what to do. He was scared. And so he had one foot on the fence and one foot on the horse, and the horse took off, and he just fell on the ground. So we got to choose. Are we going to ride the horse? Are we going to stay on the fence? Are we going to follow Jesus, or are we going to follow the world? We get to choose. Joshua 24:15 says, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, you don't have to serve Him. He will let you live your own life. But no, you are serving a different master. One who will enslave you and will not give you a good life here on earth or in heaven. So we must choose wisely. Who do we serve? And trust in Jesus alone. So at this time, I'm going to ask the praise team to come forward and lead us in our closing song. It's going to be, you might want to turn your hymnals to this if you want to follow along, because there's parts to it. It's number 338. 338, "The Wonderful Grace of Jesus." Isn't His grace wonderful? Isn't His grace just wonderful? If the Lord has stirred in your spirit and tugging at you today, as we talked about freedom, maybe you're struggling in your life. Maybe you've got some strongholds in your life. Come forward to the altar today and say, "God, I need your power. Help me to overcome the strongholds in my life." And don't be embarrassed about that. Because let me tell you, the people who are sitting in the pews probably should be up there with you. So don't feel uncomfortable or embarrassed about coming up. Because you know what? You're dealing with the Lord. And let the Lord deal with you. And rejoice that He can get you out of your prison that you are walking with. He can break the chains that bind you. So at this time, let us turn to 338 and let's stand and sing "Wonderful Grace of Jesus."